Hallelujah. So I'm going to speak to you tonight about beating sickness. Okay, I'm going to speak to you tonight about beating sickness. Come on. You know, here's some facts that you might not know that will help you with this. And then we're going to pray for the sick and people are going to be healed in this room tonight. Why? Because God's told me. Well, I do feel the power of God, actually, in the presence of God here. But actually, often I don't feel the power of God in the presence of God. It doesn't mean anything either. People get healed anyway when we pray for them in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is here. He's in this room. He loves you. He wants to do you good and help you. It's sometimes in different times and seasons he does that. But you can trust him and reach out to him. It's all to do with you and Jesus and faith, healing. It's really simple. See, with faith, simply believing like a little child that what Jesus promises to do, he can do, he will do, he'll do it now. That's how you get healed. Now you recover. Let me tell you something from the few things from the Bible that might help you in all this. Help your faith, inspire you to be a person who is blessed by divine health and healing, and you continue to get healed throughout your life so that you live your full life out. You know, your body, with care, some care, is designed to last a lifetime. Do you know that? That's just the truth. Your body, with care, will last a lifetime, but there is some Bible facts you need to know that will help your understanding. Here's number one. First of all, we come from a place where no one was ill. In the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible, no one's ill. There is no sickness because there's no sin. Therefore, there's no death. And sickness is just the shallow end of death. That's all it is. Adam and Eve, our first parents, were never sick. They were healthy every day. They never woke up with an ache or a headache or felt poorly or anything. Never. No trouble, no illness, no diseases. Man was created by God, had fellowship with God, and was blessed. Everything Adam and Eve needed was there in the garden, and they had fullness and health of life. You say, what's that got to do with me? Well, actually, quite a lot, dear friend, because that's the future. The future isn't orange. The future's Jesus. And in the future, we are going to, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where sin, sickness, and disease, and death, and pain do not exist. Will be restored. Humanity will be restored back to its original state, and even better. We'll have unending fellowship with God. We'll walk with God. We'll see Jesus face to face. And we'll all be there, love each other, and know each other. We'll all be incredibly young. I'll have hair in this little bit here. And I'm not exactly sure what it looked like, but we'll all have resurrection bodies and we'll recognize each other, know each other, I'm sure, love each other, because that's the future. We came from somewhere where no one was ill. We're going to somewhere, because of Jesus, where no one gets ill. Can you see sickness is only a period in the middle where you're living? Now, we fight sickness. That's just the truth. Mark 1 shows that when Jesus preached in the synagogue, he didn't just preach. He cast out demons, set people free from addictions, then went home for Sunday lunch to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was ill with a fever, wiped out with a fever. Anyone here been wiped out with a fever? You know what that's like? It's terrible, burning behind your eyes, you're lying in bed. Proper flu, not man flu, not like a little cold. Proper flu, a proper fever is horrendous. You can't move. Sometimes I've crawled to the toilet. You know when you're that ill? Crawl to the toilet. And we know what that's like. And Peter's mother-in-law was wiped out with a fever. Jesus heard about it, went straight upstairs to her, rebuked the fever, used the same words he used when he spoke to the demon in the synagogue, exact same words. He rebuked the fever. Get out of her. And she stood up totally well and made Sunday lunch for them all. She would have very happy. Saturday lunch, though, because it was Sabbath, wasn't it? But anyway, right now we fight sickness. Right now, because we're in the middle now. Well, there was a place where man didn't have sickness because he'd never sinned. God said, the day you eat that fruit, you will die. When Eve and then Adam listened to Satan, disobeyed God, ate the fruit, then they were cursed. And we're born in that curse. There's several curses. One was pain. There was no pain. God said, from now on, pain. There was no hard work. You looking forward to work tomorrow morning? Hope you enjoy it. Most people don't, you know. Truth. Oh, I love my job. Great, you enjoy it. You're a rarity. I hope it lasts. Because actually, the joy of just creating and working went. God said, from now on, you'll earn your living by the sweat of your brow. And the earth will produce for you thorns and thistles. It's a hard life now. Because you've rejected me. We want to be on our own. We don't need God. That's fine. You're on your own then. That's a hard life. Very hard. And life, sweat and work and toil has a curse to it. You can never quite earn enough. People who do earn a lot of money doesn't make them happy. They end up miserable. They end up unhappy. The highest rate of suicide in the UK is in Surrey. Isha in Surrey. It's also the highest standard of living in the UK. Money is no cure-all for happiness. Jesus is. And so we're in this middle bit where we get sick, we get ill, we die, we're born sinners, we're not happy with life. But we've got some good news tonight. God didn't leave us in that condition. God, in the fullness of time, it says, sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, to redeem us from being disobedient, redeem us from sickness, redeem us from the curse of poverty. And all those basic curses, man has been struggling with them ever since, hasn't he? All the basic trouble in human life is still as it was from the very beginning. Hatred, sin, violence, poverty, despite all the technology. You know, but we have computers. So there's no poverty now. No, there's poverty. Oh, we've got fantastic hospitals. Our scientists are brilliant. So there's no sickness then. Oh, no, there's still sickness. Yeah, of course there's sick. There'll always be sickness until that final time when Jesus comes back. But until then, there is blessing possibility. And the blessing possibility is meeting the Savior Jesus. He is the one God sent to die on the cross for our sins, as Kat so beautifully said, and rise again and bring us the blessing of the kingdom of God. He brings us this early. He brings the kingdom of heaven early for you. And you experience what you will experience fully in heaven, partly now. You get sick, but blessing comes and you get healed again. Of course, if you live in this world, you'll get sick. But you get healed. You can still get healed. Because you keep receiving blessing from Jesus. Blessing from heaven. That's how you get healed. It's phenomenal. It happens through Jesus. He died so that you could be redeemed from every bit of trouble in your life. Every bit of trouble, not just saved for heaven, but saved from poverty. Saved from depression and sorrow. Saved from sickness. Continually saved. And blessed, and blessed, and blessed, and become a blessing to others. He heals you and you heal others. He gives you wealth so you bless the poor and help other people. He gives you joy so you can teach others the word of the Lord and bring them joy. It's fantastic. Sound good? Called Christianity. It's cool. Years ago, when I was about 12 years old, there was a terrible accident in Great Ayton. Some of you will remember it. It was a snowy winter's day. And the butchers that's still there on Great Ayton High Street, the butcher was working, selling stuff to people, over the counter, looking out of his shop window. And as he did, he saw a little girl walk across that bridge and along the side of the river. He was watching her because it was a snowy day. She was on her own. And he was serving people and kept looking at this little girl, serving people, kept looking at this little girl. And one time when he looked up, she was gone. She'd slipped into the river. And in one moment, he made a decision that was going to change both their lives forever. He jumped over the counter, ran out of that shop, cross the road, cross the bridge, along the bank. Some other people had seen as well, and they were coming running. And without any hesitation, he jumped straight into that freezing river, and he grabbed that little girl and saved her life. Is that good? And he brought her to the edge of the river and pushed her up, and some people got her. But at the same time, through the shock, he had a massive heart attack himself and died. That man could have stayed behind his... He could have stayed in his shop, let someone else go, but he didn't. He did what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus came down from heaven, got into our mess. He wasn't dying. You were. I was. And got into our mess. And on the cross, Jesus lifts us out of death and hell and sin and sickness, lifts us out, hands us to his Father. And as he does, he dies himself. He pays the price for every sinner that's ever lived in this world. He pays the death penalty that is deserved by sin. He drowns on the cross. Jesus was drowning. Actually, medically, that's exactly what happened. His lungs filled with water, asphyxiation he died from. And that's how you died in crucifixion. You die as your lungs fill with water and you can't push yourself up on the nail on your feet anymore because everything's in cramp and you're in agony and all your bones are out of joint. And Jesus drowned. But he didn't drown a failure. He drowned a fantastic victor. He didn't drown with a whimper. He died with a mighty shout. And this is what he said. It is finished! The Greek is, I have done it. It is accomplished. When Jesus lifts us out, he doesn't just lift us out from sin. He lifts us out from sickness too. He lifts us out from every result of the fall. Sickness is your enemy and God's enemy and needs to be fought. We fight sickness. Phenomenal when people get healed, isn't it? People got healed by Jesus all the time, all the time, all the time. But he taught the apostles not just to preach to people. Let me make you great preachers. No, he made them great healers as well. He said, watch me heal, 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 heal. Right, you go and heal. There's no real mention of praying for healing, actually, in the New Testament. Jesus never got them together and says, pray that people will be healed. People came to Jesus and he never prayed for them. What's wrong with you, mate? I can't walk. Let's pray. Father, he didn't do that. He just healed them. How did he do it? It was very practical. Let me tell you how people get healed. First of all, it's with a touch. He puts his hand on them. That's one way Jesus healed people. Another way is he spoke to the illness as though it was the enemy of him. And he just told them to do. And then the third thing is, because there was two, and this is the third thing. Glad you're with me. The third thing was this. He often just told them to do something they couldn't do. What's wrong with you, mate? I can't walk. Okay. Walk! Huh? I can walk! What's wrong with you, mate? I can't speak. Oh. Fair enough. You got me. Or whatever it is. And he often just told them to do. He would tell them to do it. Or he would speak to the infirmity as though it were a disease, as though it were a demon. Because just the same, it's an enemy. So actually, people who were deaf and dumb came to Jesus. And he rebuked the deaf and dumb spirit in them. I mean, talk about political correctness. Imagine doing that today. Some deaf and dumb guy comes forward. You deaf and dumb evil spirit, get out of him. You'd have everyone up in arms, wouldn't you? You don't speak to the disabled like that. How dare you? Jesus would have been in big trouble, wouldn't he? These days. Do you know why? Because we deify illness. We love it and protect it. And make it all so, and make it our friend, and make it acceptable, instead of hating it the way Jesus hated it. That's pretty radical stuff, but it's the truth. And Jesus said to a deaf and dumb man, "You deaf and dumb spirit, get out of him." And it came out with a shriek, and the man could hear, and he could speak. I don't think that man was too bothered about how Jesus spoke to him, do you? I don't think he cared about political correctness. He just wanted to be healed. And that's how it's got to be with sickness. A little bit less British and a little bit more reality if you want to see miracles. And he said, you know what? It is a challenge and it is a fight. So anyway, how do you get better? How do you actually win? I think there's another slide there. Look at Stuart. He's looking good tonight with his little glasses pointing. How to beat sickness. It's fantastic seeing people healed. I remember the first time I saw someone healed. I think I was 19 years old. I was in a prayer meeting in, where's that place with the river and a nice picnic area and all that? Is it Richmond? In Richmond, someone took us there to this prayer meeting, me and Margaret. And there's about 20 people in the room. And there's a couple of nuns in the room. It was a Catholic, charismatic prayer meeting. And we sat there, and this guy gets a word of knowledge. I'd never heard anyone prophesy anything. But he said, there's someone in the room, I think, with a problem with their hearing. Deafness in one side of their ear. I feel God's telling me that. And then this other woman on the other side of the room said, yeah, I can confirm that. I keep getting a pain in my right ear. And I thought, I was just thinking, well, this is bordering weird. This is interesting. And but then the amazing thing is this nun, one of the nuns, says, and you know, it's just an understood truth, isn't it, that nuns don't lie. I mean, you know that. That was one of the things that helped me in this situation because I'd never seen anyone healed. I didn't believe it could happen, necessarily. This nun said, yeah, that's me. I'm deaf, totally deaf in my right ear. I was impressed. I was only 19 years old. I thought, whoa, this is impressive. Awesome. I thought, that's great. We'll all go home and pray for her. Whew, amazing. But then it went a step further. This guy obviously expected the woman to be healed there and then. He gets this chair, puts it in the middle of the room, and says, would you like to sit here, sister? I'm going to pray for you. I thought, this is better than Cineworld. And Cineworld wasn't even invented. I thought, this is amazing. You know, my eyes were like saucer. I thought, this guy's good. This, I think they expected to be healed right here. And she sat down, and they said, tell us about your ear. She said, when I was a little girl, my brother was just playing around, but he put a toy syringe in my ear. It was full of water and banged it. And it totally destroyed my eardrum. I've never had any hearing in that ear since then. I guess she was in her 60s. We thought, well, that is a significant problem. Then this guy says, well, let's pray. Lord, we just ask you, you would heal this ear. In the name of Jesus, we speak to this ear, be open. She said, oh, that's it. It's open. I can hear, I can hear. I tell you, I was off my chair. Are you sure? Are you sure? I was walking around watching him. I thought, man, this is absolutely awesome. I mean, I'd started reading the Bible. I knew Jesus healed people. I'd read about a few saints as well. Francis of Assisi, Saint Benedict. I knew that in the lives of the saints, they did the odd miracle. That's why they were saints. That's why they had big yellow circles around their heads. Because they did miracles. But I couldn't see any yellow circle around this bloke's head. He's just a normal gadgy from Richmond. And I thought, this is absolutely awesome. I was just learning about the Holy Spirit. And then a couple of months later, I thought, I'll have a go myself. Some of you know this story. It's the first time I ever healed anyone myself. I was 20 now. I must have been 20 now. Because I was in North Wales doing this period of training in North Wales, studying the Bible. And across the road from where I was living, there was a bishop's house, Bishop Langton Fox. Quite a famous bishop because he wrote a book on the Shroud of Turin. And we went round his house for a prayer meeting. And you know what? In the prayer meeting, there was about 30 people. I was there for the first time, just a little kid, 20-year-old. They were all older. And honestly, I can't quite remember what moved me to do this, but I was honestly just having a go. I thought, I'm going to do what that guy did in Richmond because it looked so cool. And I thought, I'll just say something and guess. I'll just bluff it, have a go, and see if this thing works. I said, I believe there's someone here with a bad back. Thought, I'll start safe. I think there's someone here with a bad back. They all looked at me like, who are you, son? You're 20 years old. You got a northeast accent. Shut up. That's what they honestly did. And I should have. I mean, I can't believe how cheeky I was, really. But I said, I believe there's someone here with a bad back. And no one said anything. And then I thought, oops. I thought, I better go a bit further then. I'll step out on the limb a bit further. And I think you've had an operation on your back. No one moved. It was 2 months ago in hospital. You're in hospital and you're still in pain now. I thought, if this doesn't do it, I'm off home. And this woman's nudging this guy. She said, it's you. It's her husband. And he said, yeah. It is Bishop. They all didn't dare move because the Bishop, you know, they said, it is Bishop. It's me. And so they all looked at me. The Bishop looked at me. I thought, what do you do now? And I thought, oh no, I've started. I have to finish. So this is the truth. I grabbed my chair, put it in the middle of the room. And they're all looking at me like, you're joking. And I said, take a seat, my friend. And I was sweating, you know, sweat was running down the back of my head. And I have a bit of fun with it now, it makes a good story. But I tell you, at the time I was thinking, please God, let this work. Please God, let this work. And the guy sat on the chair and I thought, and no one else came up. I thought someone would like gather around him. They obviously weren't used to it. They obviously weren't as advanced as me. And I said, let's just pray for your back to be healed. Lord, we ask you to heal this back, to take away the pain. And then I couldn't remember anything else that this guy had done, because in my meeting, this nun had just said, that's it, I'm healed. And he didn't say that. He said nothing. So I thought, okay, time to move on. I said, thanks, can I have my chair back? Went back and put my chair back and sat down. Everyone just looked like, loser. And they continued with the prayer meeting. And no one talked to me at the end of the coffee time. And I just sort of headed for the door like that. Whew! Thought, I am not going back there again. But do you know what the amazing thing is? This guy was completely healed. A big message went round the village, because it was only a tiny village, Pantisaf in North Wales, that a mighty miracle had happened. This guy had been in quite a serious car accident, apparently. And I didn't know that till later. He had steel plates in his back. When we prayed for him that night, they disappeared. The pain went, the steel plates disappeared from his back. And when he went back to the hospital to check it up, they couldn't believe the x-rays were totally different. He had no scars. He had nothing. He was mightily healed by God, by a little baby 20-year-old doofus who was trying to just have a little go and practice some spiritual gifts and step out a bit in faith. Do you know what I learned that day? God loves faith. He loves people to have a go. He doesn't need superstars. He loves people to see other people do it. That's how the apostles did it. They saw Jesus did it. Get out, evil spirit. Right. You, get out, evil spirit. Oh, it works. And they went back to Jesus and said, it works. He said, yeah, it's great, isn't it? It works for you as well, you know. I want to encourage you to beat sickness by laying your hands on everybody, praying for everybody, and having a go. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Believe you've heard him. So what if you're wrong, really? I mean, does it really matter that much if you're wrong? Unless you do something, you know, like throw someone out of a wheelchair or something.
maybe don't start there, you know. But
you can at least say, I believe there's someone here with this. And step out and believe you hear God and aim for it. It's a fantastic thing to see people healed. And obviously over the years I've seen many people healed in wonderful, wonderful ways. I've also prayed for a lot of people who haven't been healed. I've prayed for loads of people who've been healed slowly, recovered, and some people have just been healed miraculously, never to be ill again. Some people just recover and get stronger. I've known cancers just instantly disappear. We've seen several right here at the front just last year. Instantly disappear. And other times cancers shrink slowly. And a mixture of medicine and... Well, you never know, dear. That's a problem because people are getting treatment. So would it just shrink without the treatment? I don't know. But we've seen it all, you know. We've other seen other people who you pray for, you long for them to be healed, and they're not. And they die, go to Jesus, go to heaven. I mean, the ultimate thing isn't... let's do these, otherwise you won't have the teaching. And, anyway, here's three ways you could beat sickness. First of all, for yourself, give your body to God. Let the Lord own you totally and become a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's not bothered whether you're tall, short, thin, bald, fat, whether you look awesome or you don't. God doesn't look how man looks. God wants your life, your personality and your voice and your hands and your feet and your body for his instrument on earth. And if you give your body to Jesus Christ, as you give your life to him, then the Holy Spirit comes and inhabits your body. And the Holy Spirit does you good. It does you good. You know, sin is not only expensive, it's pretty bad for you. And the more you repent of your sins and give your body to God, it's just practical, really, isn't it? You're obviously going to be healthier, aren't you? You'll be wealthier, for starters, because you won't be spending so much money on nightclubs and nights out and getting smashed out your head. You'll just have one little glass of wine and a smile. It's a lot cheaper, but also your body will be better because you'll be giving it to the Lord. You won't be worshipping your body, neither will you be abusing your body. You'll just be living free. And that is healthy. There's more peace then. There's less anxiety because you're giving your life to God. And less, you know, the link between anxiety and illness and all the rest. So you give your body to God, you give your life to God. Then you're going to live more healthy. That's just common sense, isn't it? And then expect to be healed when you're ill. Try and keep going for healing. Keep going for healing. When Graham first got saved on the streets, being a tramp for 3.5 years, he got saved with us in our Alpha and stuff. He was blind as a bat. I used to pick him up in the car. Beep, 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 beep. He just stood across the road. Beep, 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 beep. Is that you, Martin? Yeah, Graham, I'm here. Oh, nice to see you. Get in the car. He was registered blind. He had the biggest phone I've ever seen in my life. Massive buttons like that. We used to say to him, Graham, start bringing your Bible to meetings. It's really helpful. Then he'd bring this Bible that was absolutely huge because it had massive print. And he was blind as a bat because he'd been an alcoholic on the streets and all his retinas had decayed. And they said to him, you'll never, ever get your sight back. It never happens. Never happens, never happens. But did. Graham kept coming forward for prayer. Kept coming prayer for prayer. And he was looking for a wife at the time. He used to say to me, that lass over there, she good looking? I used to say, no, don't bother. No, I didn't. I used to say, you're so blind, who cares? Just go and kiss her. No, I didn't. And, it was so funny. We used to go to FGB meetings and he used to put gravy on his plate. He'd just be putting so much gravy on it. He couldn't see, he was pouring over the table. He'd come back to his chair like that. There'd be a big line of gravy. We had so many laughs when he was blind. But anyway, but then he had to go and get healed because he kept coming forward. His eyes just got better and better and better and better. He got a normal phone. He got a little thingy phone. He got his driving license back because you can't drive if you're registered blind. He got his driving license back. He could drive. His grandma's perfect sight today. It just happened over time. Jesus healed him because he kept going forward, didn't he? Stu, over and over and over again. I want to encourage you, when you receive in prayer, you know, Julie's going through a period where she's fighting cancer. We're all fighting it with her. She's receiving daily prayer. Daily prayer. People are going around for praying every day. Every day. every day. Even these churches that have healing rooms, people only go once a week. If I fight cancer myself, I'm going to get daily prayer. Daily prayer. Laid on hands. Daily prayer. Daily prayer. Daily prayer. Daily prayer. Daily prayer. Why? Because sometimes people get healed over a period of time as they soak in the presence of God. Soak in the presence of God. I remember being in India once and I met this fantastic woman, Sister Leah, unmarried. Several of them lived in this house. They were sort of like Pentecostal nuns, really. Unmarried young ladies and older ladies who just give their whole lives to prayer. And they had a fantastic, powerful prayer ministry. And they would take sick people to this place and really demon-possessed people and people who were insane, properly insane. And they would just keep them there and pray for them every day. And I tell you, over a period of time, the miracles, unbelievable. She took me into her office. She said, Martin, look at this. She had files right along the wall of cases of people. And she showed me, look, before, after, before, after, before, there'd be a naked man with his hair out here, covered in paint and blood and living on the street, insane in India, insane, possessed, insane, brought to this house, loved, cared for, prayed, haircut, prayer, Jesus, prayer, Jesus, sanity, peace, forgiveness, healing, beautiful Indian guy in a gorgeous suit and tie, smiling, Bible in his hand, job, wife. Like, is that awesome? It's awesome. It's daily prayer, the kingdom of God, healing, healing, healing. No one gets that kind of health care here. Give you a load of tablets, electrocute you. We're miles behind. Jesus heals. And I want to encourage you to expect to be healed. Doesn't matter if it happens tonight in a moment or whether it happens over a period of time. It doesn't matter. No one in the Bible, listen to me, no one in the Bible went to Jesus and wasn't healed. No one. So whatever you feel like isn't the point. Sometimes people didn't feel anything when Jesus prayed for them. He just said, go home and you know, you 10 lepers, go to the priest and tell him. They looked at you, you still got leprosy? Yeah. You still got leprosy? Yeah. What a bummer. We meant to see Jesus. Well, let's go home. And he says, as they went home, they were healed. You're healed. Yeah, we're all healed. Why? We're healed. Because it's by faith. Jesus said to people, it's just, daughter, your faith has made you well. Often he didn't even pray for people. They just came up to him. Boom, yes. Well, who touched me, daughter? Well done. Your faith has made you well. Faith in Jesus is a very wise move. Brothers and sisters, believe in Jesus. Put your faith in him. Turn to him. And you will be healed. And the most important thing, of course, is that you're saved and that you're going to heaven. And I know there's someone in this room who needs to be saved tonight. You need to be born again. That's the biggie. You let Jesus lift you out of the river of death tonight. You give him permission and he'll save you. He's itching to save you. But he needs your permission. Because he walks over no one's will. Doesn't force anyone. He's a mighty savior, but he's very kind and gracious. He reaches out his hand and says, take my hand. And often we look around and say, is there any other options? No other options. Take my hand. I'd rather sink. That's terrible. It's very sad. But people do choose that. And Jesus lets them. He won't violate your will. But if you take his hand, he'll take you to heaven. Walk with you forever. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, then I'm going to give you an opportunity in one moment, it's time when I finish this, for you to say yes in your heart and you'll be lifted out. And keep getting lifted out. Keep getting healed and be blessed. Live a blessed life. And then ultimately believe in the resurrection. Let me tell you something about the guy I prayed for, that wonderful healing. He's probably dead now. I was 20. I'm 24 now. So that, no. I was 20. He was probably in his 60s then when he got healed. He's probably dead. Great healing, but he's dead. The truth is, everyone Jesus healed is dead. But those who believe in Jesus won't stay that way. You still die. You will all be 6 feet under one day. But if you know Jesus, you'll go no further under. And one day, when he comes back soon, he's going to raise everyone from the dead. Everyone. Everyone. Good, the bad, and the ugly. And it says he'll judge everyone then. And the people on his right will go to heaven, and the people on his left, who've rejected him, will go to hell. That's what he said. That's not very nice. Well, it's not my words. I'd preach a very nicer message, because I like people to like me. Jesus isn't bothered. Jesus knows the reality of hell and heaven, so he just tells people straight. He says, go to heaven, because it's all been paid for. You've got to offer to go to heaven, so get there. Don't go to the other place. And Jesus is going to resurrect us all. The ultimate healing is resurrection, isn't it? You know, we keep fighting sickness so that we live a long life and can serve Jesus. Then we go to him. If he doesn't come back, that's fine. If he comes back, we'll be changed, Paul said. We'll just be changed. Whoa, look at my body. I'm flying. Or whatever we do. Stuart's just walked through that wall. Phenomenal. He must have a resurrection body. But if we go, sleep in the grave first, no matter. The Apostle Paul's dead. Mother Trees is dead. Billy Graham will be dead soon. It doesn't matter. Christians don't die. They just sleep. And when Jesus has the alarm clock, the Father has the alarm clock, actually. He knows the exact time. And when he presses that bell, we'll all wake up, all of us. All of us. And we'll all be together, those who know Jesus. It'll be phenomenal. No more sickness, no more pain. Brothers and sisters, believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, it'll make no sense of healing. You won't have a good healing ministry, because when people don't get healed and die, you'll be devastated, as though, oh, God, what are you doing? I'm doing what I've always done. You know, no one's going to live. You're not going to live. You can live a long life, but how long? You know, I talked with this guy once. He said, I'm middle-aged. He was 54. Was he going to live to 108? Now, brothers and sisters, if you're 54, you're not middle age. Reality here. You know, great advances in medicine. Not, there'll be no one in this room in 100 years' time. None of us will be here. We die. 70 years, 80 if we're strong, 90 if we're awesome. But then what? What? Do you really want another 50 then? No, we're ready to go to Jesus. We're going to Jesus. The important thing is that. So God's going to heal the sick tonight. But first of all, he's going to save a soul. And there's going to be a big party in heaven. Let's close our eyes. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to say yes to Jesus. To say yes to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you. He loves you. It's a very simple thing to be saved. God says, turn to me. All the ends of the earth, and be saved. That's all you do. You turn. Turn to away from yourself, away from religion, away from everyone else. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus now, and you'll be saved. And if that's you tonight, you're saying, that's me. I want to be saved. I'm going to ask you to do a very brave thing to seal it. I'm going to ask you just to stand right now where you are. And as you stand, you're saying, Lord, count me in. Let me be saved. Everyone's got their eyes closed. No one's bothered. But you just stand now if you want to be saved by Jesus. If you know you're saved, you can stay seated. It doesn't matter. You've already stood. It's a wonderful opportunity. People are standing. all over the room. So don't miss this opportunity. This is your moment. It's very important you give Jesus permission. Sometimes people, you know, Jesus walked right past them. And they could have been healed, they could have been saved, but they didn't cry out. Don't let that be you tonight. Jesus is right here. He loves you. If you feel your soul moved, you stand. And just standing, you're saying, please, Jesus, just save me. And he will. He loves you. He absolutely loves you. I'm just going to keep waiting for a moment because people are still standing. It's a beautiful, important moment. There's a great celebration in heaven when anyone turns to Jesus. The angels, Jesus said, rejoice over one sinner that is saved, that turns to the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you will never, ever regret it. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 17 years old. I was a punk rocker. It was the late 70s. And it was the best thing I ever did. I sometimes look back and shudder in fear of what might have happened if I didn't. But thank God I did. Because I've really lived a blessed 30-odd years. Through the mercy of God. Nothing to do with you or me. And people are still standing, so that's why I'm keeping talking, but I'm going to pray in 1 minute. This is really your last opportunity now. If this is you and you'd love to stand, and you're standing for yourself, not for anyone else. You know, one day you'll stand before God on your own. Your mum won't be there, your dad won't be there, your friends won't be there. So this is really between you and him. Lord Jesus, you see every person standing in this room. And you know the wonderful significance of that. Thank you that you died and rose again from the dead to save each one of them. We pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would meet them. They don't need to do anything else. They've already stood. And that is signing the document of their salvation. When you get invited to a wedding, you send the reply back and say, I'm coming, save my place. And I tell you, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people standing here. And there are 10 places in heaven for you that will be reserved forever. So you can sit down and you can rejoice. And should we give Jesus a big round of applause? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, so much.